Welcome to On Mission, a podcast from the Catholic Apostles' Center. Today we are joined by Father Frank, Chris, Elise, and Tyler, and we're talking about vocational discernment.
Kate is on maternity leave with her...
Well, see, vocational discernment. There
with
you are.
Her, with her second child, and so we have someone filling in for her.
Hi, I'm Elise. I've been married to my husband for 3 years, and we have a one-year-old son, and I am a local public school teacher by day.
Which is a vocation in of itself.
Now, here I am, the priest. Okay, so there's, and a religious seal on top of that, and a consecrated life. So check. We have two married people, one person going out, and then we have a mom as well. That's, lots of vocation coverage there.
I have a brother in seminary.
That's true. You have a brother in seminary. There you go. So there's the discernment aspect of that. What do we mean by vocational discernment? And that's a pretty, it could be come across as, a really generic type of term, but in church circles, it has a particular.
Like dioceses have like offices of vocations.
Yes, but.
For a particular purpose.
True, but oftentimes those are focused around, and even for religious communities, they're usually focused around somebody coming to that group. But like when the church is talking, we're having this synod that's coming up. I mean, that's the part I think that we can look at a little bit more.
When I think of the word discernment, try to break that down a little bit. Discerning, I feel like we're always in a constant state of discernment. Discerning, what am I going to do today? What am I going to have for dinner? What am I going to do tomorrow?
But you can discern what you have for dinner.
Yeah,
it's a really important decision.
In this terminology, right, discernment is a function of what is my state of life going to be? What is, jump in if I'm wrong.
What is my primary way that I'm going to serve the Lord?
Right. And that takes many forms, and I think a lot of folks, especially young adults, go through a stage of discernment and discernment of a religious fashion, whether or not they discern whether or not they want to follow the path that leads them to religious life, or whether they decide whether they're following the path to get married,
or whether even single life is
right
for them.
So I think there are certainly, as Father said, we're in this room. We've got a lot of discerners. But I question, what do you, as someone who, for Father, as someone who maybe deals with this on a different level, do you think that we're always in a process of discernment? Do you think that it ever ends?
No, I don't think it ever ends. I think vocational discernment, that's the piece. Vocation is comes from the Latin vocare, to call. So what are we called to? Some would debate whether or not the single life is part. What does that mean? Do you mean consecrated single life? You mean being single? Priesthood, consecrated life, marriage in the Catholic context become the vocational aspects that people are called to discern. But there's, first and foremost, we got to step back, I think, and there's the whole call to holiness, the vocation to live the baptismal call that we all have to holiness, to being a saint, that's our end goal. And then the other vocations lead us to that. Interestingly enough, the synod, though, in its working document, brought back in the whole single piece, the people who are single. So it's an interesting discussion that seems to be there, and one that I think is not necessarily an easy thing for people. I mean, it seemed easier for me. I don't know. I'm really curious as to, for you, like in terms of discerning your own vocation. Because I find sometimes people really struggle with that.
Well, it's a scary word, right? I think when I first heard the word discernment, I was in college, and it revolved mainly around religious life and whether or not you were going to try to go down that path or not. And But as I know today, and as we, as you just said, it means something so much bigger than that. I think I went through a process of discernment and deciding, do I want to get married? Maybe that discernment process was very short for me, and the answer was yes. And this is, you know, I decided at a very early time that that's certainly something that I wanted to do. While I was in college, I don't think I ever, personally, I ever went through that process of, oh, well, do I want to go into religious life or not? I felt certainly called to get married and do that. But I think we all have a lot of friends that went through that very intentional process.
Well, you had to go through an intentional process before you also decided who you were going to marry.
For some and of that us, person that takes longer than others, yes. Yes, you're absolutely right, yeah.
Before this, I asked Nicholas, I felt like I didn't do much vocational discernment, and he stopped me my tracks, and he said, you did. Like, even though I always felt called to marriage and to be a wife and a mother, but...
Nicholas is your husband.
And Nicholas Great. Is my husband, yes. Thanks. But he said that I did things that were intentional to surround myself to learn about vocation. So in college, I had a spiritual director, and we touched on the subject multiple times and prayed about it. And I was in a women's group that also consistently brought up the topic of vocational discernment and brought people in to share their stories. So even that was a process of discernment and learning more about the options and that were before me.
It's tough because there's so many beautiful options. Like the priesthood is a Absolutely. Beautiful vocation, and marriage is a beautiful vocation. And I was told in college that the best way to discern is to only discern one vocation at a time. It's very difficult to be dating and discerning the priesthood, or to be in seminary and discerning marriage. This just doesn't work out that way. You need to kind of focus your energy on being holy, like we talked about earlier, going to Mass, receiving the sacraments, surrounding yourself with people that are also discerning and that can help you along the path. I found that to be helpful.
And even if somebody discerns, for example, that they're called to, if a man discerns he's called to priesthood, well, what are you called? Are you called to diocesan? Mm-hmm. Are you called to religion? A person might be called to consecrated life as a male religious, as a brother. Somebody just yesterday that I know just made his first vows as a religious brother. But that was a discernment for him. I know that was a pretty serious discernment as to where am I to go, what am I to do, and then he made that choice, entered formation, and there he is. The same thing, I think, for religious women. And then that whole huge amount of, well, which one of those? And he says, you discern that, and then it's like, okay, well, yeah, I'm called to consecrated life. Oh, great. Now there's all of these groups.
What type of charism? Do I want to teach? Do I want to?
Yes. So it really becomes pretty complicated in some ways. The thing about the spiritual director, I think, is a key piece. Or some mentor, somebody that you can talk with about stuff.
What did your vocational discernment look like, Father?
For me, it was, I found it was easier and harder insofar as the tension point came within family. Because when the vocation director for my religious community of Palatines came, and I was a senior in high school, and I had already decided that I was going to go to Catholic University in Washington. And so, okay, great. I had already applied. But the part that was really, did I want to join? And I also figured out, no, I'm not called to diocesan priest. I'm called to religious community. I'm called to the Palatines. That but I wasn't sure if I was ready then. And then the vocation director contacted me and said, oh, would you like an application? Well, that's great. And I said, well, yeah, I think I do. So he comes to the house.
Oh, boy.
Now, I remember it was like 2 hours or an hour before, and my father is across the room. I'm sitting like next to my mother on my bed, and my father pointed at me and said, you and your mother decided this.
Oh, boy.
And then the vocation director arrived. So Yeah. Discernment-wise, it was not the easiest of things because I had that peace there because my father had other plans for my life. And once I made my first consecration, once he saw that I was happy, I think that's another piece. But this is true, I find, in working with couples, I find that working with anybody, that if that parental piece sometimes can really be a big issue in this process.
You bring up the topic of parents, and you're right, it does play a big role in terms of your parents already maybe they believe sometimes that they've discerned for you and they have decided that this is what you're going to do. But as we know, you know, God has a different plan, and some, you know, they have to kind of come to grips with that. But I think you're right. Eventually they see that you're happy. They see that you are following a path that makes you feel whole. And, you know, I think the message to folks that are listening that may be going through this process and maybe experiencing that kind of push and pull, which I think is not uncommon, is that, you know, to stick with it and to try to help them understand that this is what is making you whole, what is making you happy. But I think you're right. And when it comes to marriage, too, your parents have a certain idea of who you're going to marry, how you're going to marry, what is that going to look like? Everything from what the color of your flowers might be to, you know,
how many kids you should have.
Right. and they certainly play a large role in that and an impact in it. And it's up to the individual people or persons to decide what are the boundaries, what are the, how much are you going to allow them to impact that discernment process?
Well, and for all of you, where's dating? Where did that factor in? I mean, Chris, you and Elise have, you know, you made your choice. And Tyler, you're in process here. But where does dating factor into all this in terms of discerning who that right person is?
I firmly believe that dating is a weeding out process. You shouldn't be dating for fun. As Catholics, we're dating to marry. And I think it's okay to date somebody and say, that's not the right person for me. And that's part of the process. And but using that time intentionally, thinking, will this person make a good life partner? And do we share similar values? And being proactive about learning those things about each other, especially before marriage, because it gets even harder once you get to married life and have all these things, job, career, children, and hardships that you least expect, that just happen as part of life. And so really taking the time to know who that person is.
When it comes to dating, you know, I some people date lots of folks. And as Elise said, you know, you have to be open to the idea. And I agree with Elise in a lot of ways. For me, as someone who, you know, maybe didn't really date a ton of people, well, you know, maybe that was my fault. I don't know, whatever the case may be. But for me, I really didn't, it wasn't as big of a, some folks are out there, you know, saying, oh my God, I'm not dating anyone. And what's wrong? I'm dead. Yeah, well, but for me, I didn't really ever really feel that way. For me, it was, if I'm going to date, attempt to date someone, that I have to be open to the fact that this might be the person that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And that may be, that's a huge thing to think about, especially when you're at date one, right? Or pre-date, and you're just like reaching out. My gosh, do I want to reach out to this person with the intention to marry? That's not something you want to think about. But it's important to internalize in yourself that don't reach out to someone that, oh, I don't want to say don't reach out to someone, because you always want to be open to everyone, but you want to be intentional about dating and realize, like, I think this person is someone that I could potentially spend the rest of my life with, and I want to find out more about this person. And dating is really like a process of information gathering, emotional gathering. Are we compatible? Because you don't know right off the bat. And it may take several swings at bat to figure out what who the right person is. But it is a, I guess what I'm trying to say is that you have to be open to the idea that could this person be someone that I want to spend more time with and eventually all of my time with. And if it's not, I don't know, maybe try to be open to that idea. And then I think the other person also kind of needs to be in the same mindset for it to be successful. And I think those are the important questions not to ask right off the bat. Don't go into a first date saying, gosh, we should get married. How do you think about that? Or do you think we'll ever get married? You don't want to, you know, we don't want to turn this into a dating advice podcast, but just to be open to that and to realize that dating is in itself a discernment process.
I find that people do look for dating advice in working with people who are discerning the vocation of marriage. It can be, it's really daunting.
Yeah.
Dating right now is a pretty daunting thing for people.
The culture that we live in and the society, not to put on that hat, but the culture that we live in would express that, man, if you're not dating, then you're doing something wrong. Or if you're not with someone, then you're doing something wrong, or you're something wrong with you. And that's just not the case. You know, everyone has to go through that process of even reaching out. Is this, you know, you don't want to waste your time, and you do not, because time is valuable in many ways, not just to you, but you don't want to waste someone else's time either. So to be intentional about it, that would be my advice to those young couples out there, is ask the right questions and take dating as a period of, yes, fun, of course, but discernment, and to ask the questions that are going to help you make that decision eventually down the road. Is this something I want to keep exploring about? Is this person going to want to be my vocation, or maybe not? And if it's not, it's okay. There are many fish in the sea, but you have to be open to that, I think.
And this is
day
253 of the marriage?
Yes.
Your counter?
254.
Chris had this amazing counter. You know, you have those counters.
Goodness knows on this podcast.
But then it started to count up.
Yes.
You know?
People are very interested in it. I will always say, oh, I've been married for 200 and always I've only been married for 200 and whatever days, but they're always, wow, you're counting. That's so interesting. And I'm not counting because it's this many days in the ball and chain. It's this many. It's like, Father's right. We had the countdown to say how many days until we got married, and then I just kind of flipped. And on day 250, I texted my wife and I was like, happy 250 days. You know, it's not. It's just, you want to celebrate those kinds of milestones. I don't know. And to see that counter go up and up and up and up and up. I hope they never delete the app. But, you know, that's just kind of fun just to see it get to that point where you're at 365 and whatever double of 365 is. You know, I don't know. It's just every day is a blessing, and you just want to celebrate the individual days.
It was very sweet. I think with dating, that made me think of two things. One, that no person's dating experience is going to look like somebody else's. So in dating and discernment, whatever your path is, striving not to compare yourself.
Your discernment process will not look like everyone else's.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Striving not to compare yourself to others. And being okay with that, whether you date for 6 months and then get married 6 months later, or you date for 5 years and have a 2-year engagement. Every person's experience is different. And then also really to savor the time that you're in, because there's no other time like the present. And so I know quite a few friends who are like itching to be married and reach to Pinterest and other sorts of social media and daydream about their weddings. And I look at my life right now and as I'm wrangling a one-year-old and vying for sleep, knowing that
there's no Pinterest boards for that.
Exactly. But there was no other time, like the time that my husband and I spent together dating. And so remembering the times that we did savor it and telling them to find ways to savor the moment, enjoy the time that you're in, because that's still special too.
Well, I'm currently dating. I'm not married like you two or a priest like Father. When I started dating my girlfriend, she was very explicit from the beginning. Like, I'm in this to, like, find a husband. Like, if you just like me and want to have fun, like, you find someone else. So that was very helpful to me. I kind of just knew what I was getting to in the beginning. And we actively try to pray together. And also make sure we have time to pray on our own, that we both kind of continually renew what you were saying earlier about being open. We kind of just like renew our, let's be open about this call to marriage, both together and both individually. And I find that's helpful. We each need that Saturday to ourselves where we just go pray or golf with the buddies or she go gets her nails done or something. We also need those Saturdays together where we go to mass together and go to dinner and things. And it's just finding a healthy balance where you yourself are able to be open to the Lord's will.
And those pieces that you were just talking about, regardless of what the vocation in life that you discern, those are important pieces. The prayer piece, the spending time piece. And in the case of
the
information gathering,
the leisure,
but also being serious about it. This is what I'm being intentional. Maybe that's probably a better word. Being intentional about it, that. This is what I'm doing. I'm not just kind of meandering around. I mean, there are people who become professional discerners, and they just whether it's for priesthood, consecrated life, or marriage. I mean, they just kind of go round and round and round and round, and maybe something else. Maybe I'll get the, you know, the voice from God, maybe whatever. And at a certain point, we're called to trust and then make some kind of decision. Sometimes people do make that prematurely, though, and that's where challenges that do come in later. So a good discernment ahead is really important and can help. I think also for the part of that discernment for people who are getting married is also marriage prep, if it's done well. Because it brings out a lot of other things. It's like, okay, now we've taken this one step further. We've got a date. We've got this thing, and that takes it to a deeper level.
One of the words that I kept hearing as we discussed was open, and openness, and being open to that call, whatever it might be. And I think that is an important takeaway from the discussion. I mean, that's what my takeaway is from this, is that discernment is a process of being open to what God is calling us to do, and to explore those options. And as Father said, to be intentional about that exploration. But I think being open and not closing yourself off to certain ideas is an important process.
Yeah, surrendering to God's will. Yeah. You can't do it alone. You can't do it without the sacraments and the mass and a spiritual director, like we said earlier. You have to set yourself up for success. The first step of being open is creating an environment in your life where you can be open, I think.
And that's where, because Catholicism is very communal, that's where it does become a communal process in the context of the sacraments, in the context of the community, and maybe having a representative. It could be either a priest, or it could be maybe another married couple, for example. You know, people will talk with other married couples, or people who are discerning priesthood and consecrated life, they'll be talking with and spending time with and learning from or being mentored by or accompanied by people who are in that same state of life. And, you know, how many people can go back and look back and say, oh, yeah, that these people were really influential, and they were part of the community of faith. And that really is something that if we do more of as church, it could really be a very strong thing, but people are like, no, I'm not going to get in the middle of. But I think there are people, many young adults, you know, who are in that process. And that's what I think the Synod's going to come out and say as well, coming up in October. We're talking about, you know, young people, the faith, and vocational discernment. I mean, this is a whole time where the church is going to be spending, reflecting on vocational discernment. I mean, just hasn't been done in that particular way, because it is becoming harder and harder for people that just don't make a choice. Just going to step back and not make any choice and then wander into choices, I think, sometimes.
And if we have any high school listeners, I think when you're looking for college searches, to be intentional about the college I'm going to go to has a community that will support my being open and my vocational discernment. I think, especially in this day and age, is very important. Or if you're going to go to the military or a trade school or anything like that, to just always find people around you that will be supportive.
I think that actually brings up a really good point and kind of dovetails with what Father was just saying, to surround yourself with a community of support is another key. If we were making a list of, you know, things to pull out of this podcast, I think surrounding yourself with a supportive community and being intentional about, you don't want to surround yourself with folks that are not supportive of what you are doing or what you want to do. You don't, you know, there's so many negative voices out there. You certainly don't need to surround yourself with negativity during the most important parts of your process. And so I think what Tyler is saying, to whether that's friends or family or both, and when you're out of school and finding those communities, whether that be at your parish, in your professional life, to surround yourself with folks that are going to be supportive of your process.
And I think we talked about this maybe in an earlier podcast, where sometimes that community might not be there and the onus becomes on you to start creating that community, and inviting others to join you in that search for your vocation.
I think that right now I'm reflecting on how can I set that up for my son and our future family, and how do I, even when my community and my circle of friends are done with quote-unquote this vocational discernment that happens when you choose your vocation, how can we continue to support others and be open to that? And I think a really important thing to do is to continue to pray for priests and be intentional about praying for those who are discerning, and visiting people in communities and seeing how you can get involved.
And if you build that and keep nurturing it for over the years, it pays off in a large amount of ways. I just experienced that once again in recently when a friend's father died, and this was somebody with going back to my college years, and I'm very much a part of the family, and I couldn't be present, but another person who's part of our community that we formed years ago was able to be, and we were able to be supportive of him and his family, and that went a long way, because these things are going, and that's just like 30 years later. But that community, as people were discerning their vocation, you know, they're married, and I'm a priest, and so yet we have that rapport, and they were there for me when my father passed away several years ago. So those moments, you know, are not things we like to think about, but laying that foundation. Is and even if we don't are at a different point in life, you know, we're kind of focusing this in on where people are in terms of being young adults, but where people might be at a different point in life, the community of faith, if that community is one, it's amazing how people will come around and be present and will assist in the in the vocational, not only, not just discernment, but in also ongoing commitment?
Well, we've certainly got a lot of resources on our website. We have a vocational discernment resource page at CatholicApostolateCenter.org that has links to articles and YouTube videos, as well as some of our own content on there to help you in your process of vocational discernment, to whatever that might be. So we encourage you to go online and check out that resource page along with all of our other many resource pages. Be sure to visit us online at www.catholicapostolatecenter.org. And be sure to encourage your friends and family to subscribe to our podcast or leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.